The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, this program is sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. They are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated, and parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as we see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we feature a parish which is a long-standing institution in its community, a parish with an outstanding record of serving its Northeast Cleveland community as both a spiritual and educational anchor for 100 years. St. Jerome Parish in Cleveland's Collinwood neighborhood recently celebrated the 100th anniversary of the parish, and this year, the 100th anniversary as a parish school, reaching out to everyone as the surrounding neighborhood has gone through demographic and economic changes. This is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the parochial vicar of St. Jerome's, Father Anthony Simone, along with Richard Didona, longtime parishioner at St. Jerome's. And Father Simone, well, first of all, I guess if you would, to tell us a little history of the parish, like so many post-World War I, organized as workers gravitated to available jobs, in this case, that giant Collinwood rail yard, and the people ended up petitioning Bishop Farrelly in that regard for a new parish?
Yes, yeah. I mean, where the people are, you know, right, church is needed.
It's needed, right.
As Richard was saying, we were talking earlier about this, that Cleveland is a very ethnic place, and most of these workers that are building the railroads and doing all kinds of things, and most of them were Catholic. You know, that was part of ethnic culture. And so there was just a demand for being together and needing a church. Still, yeah, I mean, it's a dynamic, diverse relationship in many neighborhood, rather. But I rejoice that it's more of a working class kind of atmosphere. The workers are my favorite people. So it's still kind of part of the parish culture.
Very good, very good. Well, I noticed on your website, St. Jerome's, known as the Beacon on the Boulevard. And I'm just wondering, maybe I'll turn to you, Richard. Where did that come from?
Well, Lakeshore Boulevard is one of the most popular roads in Collinwood. It's right on the lakeshore. The beach is a few hundred yards from the boulevard. And the beacon would, of course, be the lighthouse on the boulevard, which would be the light of Christ. Or, you know, so people would recognize that Catholic draw from Christ, the beacon of the church, and that's where that name probably came from.
And really, for any of our listeners who've been down Lakeshore Boulevard in North Collinwood there, and they know exactly why it's called the Beacon on the Boulevard. It's an extraordinary sight. We were talking ahead of time, and kind of like almost the image of the lighthouse, you know, at the lake, but it's the light of Christ, and it really does an outstanding presentation for that.
And people love the bells, too. All through the neighborhood. The people love the bells.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. I have to note, Father, the parish has had some extraordinary leadership in its all these years, 100 years. In particular, the original pastor, I was looking over some history, Father Leo Hammer, who guided St. Jerome's for some 50 years. Does that sound correct?
Yeah.
Just a great leader, and I know he received, Richard, over the years, great accolades, I mean, from our own bishops, and even from the Vatican, I believe, at one point.
I'd love to know exactly what the Vatican said, but I know that it was well said for him. Yeah, he pulled a lot for the people and built up the church, and no doubt it was under his inspiration that things came together. I'm happy to say that he was a tall man. I am not. There was a large cope that he would wear that was basically lined with gold lining that he would do exposition and adoration with. And I use it now because I do holy hours, and they had to take it up like 3 inches just to take it off the floor. But I'm using the same cope that he did.
That's extraordinary. It really is. What a wonderful, not only historic, but a true blessing. I mean, from a liturgical standpoint, to use the cope that Father Hammerhead used as such, that's really extraordinary. The other thing we have to point out, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is the school, St. Jerome's School, now celebrating its 100th year founding this year. There was another dedicated community of women religious that really made that an outstanding place for education, Catholic education. Could you mention?
Yeah, the Ursuline Order.
The Ursuline Sisters.
Was very, very, very prominent. You know, they were the backbone of the school. And so everyone that got in the parish community that went to the school got good Ursuline training.
They did. Does that include you? I have to ask. Were you there? I know.
No, not I've been going to the parish for 32
years. About
30
years or so.
But where I was, it was Notre Dame nuns.
Oh, okay. But nevertheless, the Ursuline Order really established that. And obviously, it's continued as a marvelous tradition. I want to talk, in fact, a little bit more later on that,
sure.
Father, as far as, you know, in your capacity and having an institution like this, you know, on the north end of the city of Cleveland, continuing to function and function well to serve Catholic education. Not an easy task, I'm sure. Hmm. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure.
I do have to ask you, Father, this has got to be a challenge for you. And I find, is this maybe a phenomenon currently of our church, our diocese? Here you were ordained in 2017, so briefly.
Right.
I mean, we're just talking 5-6 years ago max, and all of a sudden you're placed into this position of responsibility over a parish. Has that been a bit daunting, or how's it gone for you?
I prayed about this and probably shared this 1,000 times, so we're getting right down to it. Huh? I will say, like marriage, a lot has happened in 5 years. It's can't even tell you 1 year at a time how much has happened. In my first parish, I felt, I don't think I'll ever be more stretched than I am now. Then I went to my next parish. Sebastian's first, St. Charles second.
Okay.
And I thought, I'll never be more stretched than I am now. However, God was preparing me to be stretched at this new place, and it's no accident. And I tell people nothing about me is normal, and neither is my story, because here I am, the parochial vicar. However, being prepared to become the administrator and the pastor at St. Jerome's. And then St. Aloysius is the other parish that I'm serving at.
I didn't realize that. So you have St. Aloysius as well.
Right, right. And I'm living at Jerome's, and it's home, and I'm ministering with the great people at Aloysius. So it was a lot of transition, a lot of transition that God brought me here in a time of transition. But ultimately, once I surrendered all that weight in the first few months, it's been falling into place because I surrendered. It's not about me making it work.
Mm-hmm. How has the reception of the people been? I'm always curious about that because, frankly, we hear that, you know, as far as a new pastor, or in your case, you know, coming in administratively to lead. That can always be a challenge for both the people and the pastor. But I hope that has gone well for you.
How am I doing?
Yeah.
I've seen parishioners come that I've never even seen.
Really?
You know, because there's a new pastor there and the hubbub, you know, and there's excitement. And he's very charismatic.
I'm welcome as the flowers of May, as they say.
He's very charismatic, so everybody has a good feeling about him, and they want to come see him and talk to him. And everybody's getting involved, and it's attractive. It's compelling.
Very good.
Very, very welcome, like coming home. And
he's charismatic.
All right.
Thank you. He has some magnetism.
And we pray together. You know, amen.
Amen. Well, when we return, St. Jerome and Collinwood, the beacon on the boulevard and its role as a vibrant part of the community on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter The Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners.
Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesek's gospel reflection for that Sunday. So be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues, my guests are Father Anthony Simone, and he is the parochial vicar at St. Jerome's in Collinwood, along with longtime parishioner Richard Dodona. Father Simone, I guess let's talk about what I consider one of the most significant anniversaries, this 100 years, not only for the parish recently, but now this year for the elementary school. What a tradition for an inner city school in particular to endure and thrive in this day and age. How has that been accomplished?
It's a question for every person that's given of themselves to the school. There's a lot to say about that. I don't know everything, of course, but I do know that it has, similar to a small parish, you know, with small parish cultures, it's either me or you. Not someone will take care of this. I know these people. One of us has to stand up and do more than we have to. So it's definitely that. And I think I can say at the present that they've always prayed well, because it's definitely the teachers and principals are very prayerful, and they stay for a long time or they come back. I know Richard could say something about this as well, but of course, in the old golden days, you know, the golden days of every Catholic school, they were full of kids, you know. Everyone was Catholic. The history is still there, you know, of the Catholic faith, but it's transitioned, you know, over time, that people have moved out, economic changes. Exactly. There's different,
surely,
there's different ethnicities. There's a lot of non-Catholics who go to the school. And so, as Richard was saying, that parents, they see the public school and they value the Christian values that happen with the Catholic school. And goes without saying that we kind of minister to less fortunate families, you know, because the state pays for their education.
And yeah, that, of course, makes it feasible. Yeah. Richard, if you would.
Yeah, I would attribute a lot of it, like any institution, to the staff. In other words, the principal, the teachers, all the workers there, and then the nuns and the pastor. So in other words, if you have that joint collaboration, then you're going to have, the school has a great reputation. And I think that's what's kept it going for 100 years, because it has a great reputation of educating children. And of course, they all go on to Catholic schools. They promote that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Father, and that's got to be one of the other interesting points. As you noted, it went from, you know, strictly kind of the inbred parish of Catholics all those years. Now it's far more diverse, and yet you're able to bring, the Catholic teachings, theology, into the classrooms as well, even in this day and age, correct?
Truly, as I say first, in my parishes, kids are the icing on the cake. I just love those kids. Kids are kids. They're funny. They're adorable. You know, they're close to God because they're children. And praying Mass makes all the difference, if you pray well. You know, me praying well and me meeting the prayers and being joyful at Mass, most of the schools in Catholic, but they're praying. They're in with us. You know, they're singing the songs and they feel it.
Richard?
I feel, as a parent, I feel most parents are looking for guidance and direction, you know, and they specifically look to St. Jerome School for that. Because, in other words, as an alternative to the guidance and direction you get, the children get in public school, they see more of the Christian values and the Christian principles and the things that are attractive about Catholics. And even if the children aren't Catholic, their parents are driven by the fact that they want the children to have the Christian values and the Christian instilled in them that the public school doesn't give them.
Yeah,
you know, the public school's lacking that. So even if the parents aren't Catholic, that they want their children to have that Catholic education, which is invaluable later on, you know.
Right.
Children don't realize it, but the parents realize it.
Oh, they surely do. Okay. Tell me a little bit, too, and maybe in your tenure there, Richard, or Father, in some of the history you've learned, I always like to find out about either interesting people or events or things that may have transpired over the years at St. Jerome's. Anything stand out or anything that people come back and say, well, one time we had this, you know, that type
of thing. Oh, dear. Let me think about that one.
Yeah.
There was a couple of things come to my mind. Well, there was one funny thing that happened on our 100th birthday. When I moved in, I noticed there was a balloon stuck in the fan there at the top of the roof, 40 feet up. At the 100th anniversary celebration in the church, the place was packed with people. It was a celebration and a party, and some kid's balloon went up to the ceiling and got stuck in the fan. So maybe 100 years from now, we'll get that balloon down. That's still there.
Ah, maybe, yes.
Yeah. And something else, a couple things on my mind. Maybe you can say a word to Richard. In the rectory, which is about as old as the church itself, the one decoration that's been there from the start is this huge, beautiful, ornate image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and just so beautiful. She's like the mother of the house. She's the centerpiece of the house. So I love looking at that, and every other priest before me has.
Mm-hmm. You like to get that kind of insight to understand where, you know, the Catholic tradition really comes into play in so many respects. I mean, whether it's that balloon in the church that we'll all be looking for now,
right,
you know,
right.
Leading us to heaven, or if it's a Guadalupe painting or whatever it might be, those things are so significant in the long term. I guess I would say that it's almost very much part of our Catholic tradition and faith, you know, to have those things available. Coming up, St. Jerome's Parish in Cleveland's Collinwood neighborhood, an active parish and school today. We'll have more on AM 1260 The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring St. Jerome Parish in Cleveland's North Collinwood neighborhood. And my guests are Father Anthony Simone, along with longtime parishioner Richard Dodona. And Father Simone, tell us a little bit about some of your priorities with your various parish ministries, and where do you see the priorities of both the people and for you as you administrate at St. Jerome's?
I guess I want the overarching answer is I want to pray well, and I want people to want to pray with us and bring more people to pray with us. It all unfolds from there, and that's something that I found as a great comfort and a bond when I came to St. Jerome's, is that I mean the prayers. I'm loving the Lord when I pray Mass. I love the reverence of praying and filling with joy with that. And they share the same thing. They share that same passion. They also love praying the rosary. They also have devotion to Jesus's divine mercy. We share that love for the Lord. That's the point of being Catholic. And that's what brings us together. Ultimately, that's my heart. I love Jesus. I trust him. And I want others to know him too. The kids, for me, again, they are so incredibly precious to God and us. I want them to understand what we're praying and to pray better, and that is happening. It really is happening, bit by bit. They're praying better by me explaining what the Mass is.
You know, along with that,
you
lead right into my next question, which was simply, like so many parishes today, it's a struggle reaching younger people in this culture. I always ask this question in these interviews because they just tend to, the culture dismisses religion and so forth. How have you been able to go about, and I think you just began to describe it, to reach younger people and get them to understand a relationship with God?
I think I start with, like, I'm like a happy dad, right? I love you. I treat the kids like I love you. I love you. I love seeing you. I love being with you. I'll take any hug I can get. I'll take any hug. They see my joy in seeing them. And I talk about, it's the same Jesus. When we look at the tabernacle, it's not, oh, this is the Catholic Jesus. No, this is the same Jesus. You know, when we pray these prayers to God, this is your Father. Whether you're receiving communion or not, this is the same Jesus. This is the same faith. So definitely I bring it home to them.
Really try to reach them.
Yeah,
Richard, go ahead.
What I noticed in Father Anthony's short tenure so far is that he's very charismatic, and he explains to the children and the parishioners about the different parts of the Mass, like the past Mass we went to the other day. He explained what the word liturgy means, which is everybody praying together. And even I didn't know the meaning of that term. Mm-hmm. So he's actually attracting people by defining everything, different parts of the Mass, singing in the beginning and singing at the end. He sings a cappella.
Oh, beautiful. You know, Richard, off mic, we were talking about literally one of the things that has come up from the congregation and would influence the children. Tell us about the discussion of the tabernacle and where it's located right now in St. Jerome's and what's being discussed.
Well, it's because so many of the children aren't Catholic. you know, we don't know if they're baptized or confirmed or First Communion or any of that. So the parishioners, some of the women were saying they want the children to learn how to genuflect and make the sign of the cross when they come in and genuflect that the Jesus is there in the tabernacle. And they wanted to move the tabernacle right into straight view when you walk into the church and teach the children to have that respect.
Yeah, move Jesus back up front.
They've never learned that, and they don't have
right.
that.
Right, so, because it's off to a side
correct.
Altar,
it's off
correct?
It's off
right
the
now.
Side,
right, but, and the whole parish wants to see Jesus back up front, and right, you're right to evangelize kids that this is him there.
This is
why we bow.
Some of the older parishioners, right. the women, I asked them what they were doing, and they explained that to me, that they were taken aback by the fact that the children weren't paying the correct respect to the tabernacle.
Because they wouldn't know.
Being right there, because they don't know.
Right. My goodness. Father, how about, would you see right now, your most important ministries in order to serve your congregation?
Thank you.
In the parish?
I was about to say that even before you asked a question.
Okay.
Because I don't want to make it just about me and Jesus. Okay, there are really three main ministries. There are other ones, too, but there are three main ministries that have been present for a long time. Holy Name Society, which is everywhere. There's fellowship, not only with the men who get together, but also they sponsor a lot of our main events that bring people back into the parish picnic, the clam bake, the infamous clam bake. They bring people who went to Jerome's decades ago, so they really help foster the parish culture. They help pay for things like maintenance with the money they make. There's also Respect for Life Society, which says a lot.
They
not only support Respect for Life ministries, but also they're present in the community. They're volunteering at this place and this place. They're great, good, solid people, of course. And Alton Rosary Society, they don't need to be seen and known. They just pray. They foster prayer in the parish. They foster little things like strudel sales. It's fun. And they help foster essentially the sacred space. They take care of the sacred space in the church.
So that's important. Richard?
There's more. Well,
when I first came to the parish about 32 years ago, Father Thomas Heron was the pastor.
Right.
And he was the head of the Holy Name Society in Cleveland, so in the diocese. So the Holy Name Society was big. You know, because Father Heron was there, and you know, and they marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade, and Father Heron would lead it. And he was
Tradition has really continued such.
Yeah. A lot of Irish,
St. Jerome's,
a lot of Irish around.
Right. Mm-hmm. How can someone learn more about St. Jerome's if they're hearing about it now? About your liturgies and events, website, web address, phone number.
Sure. I would say for one, we are on Facebook. That's our main thing. Don't look for YouTube. We're a Facebook parish. And yes, we post many things that are coming up or pictures of what's happening. Live stream masses are on Facebook. For certain, look up our bulletin. That's one of our biggest ways of getting the word out. Our parish bulletin. Our website needs work. So be patient with us. We're working on updating it.
Very good.
So for the most part, and that being said, if you hear about St. Jerome's, just come and pray with us.
Right.
Come and see.
Amen.
That's the first thing I say.
The Beacon on the Boulevard.
Ooh.
Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Jerome Parish in Cleveland's Collinwood neighborhood. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.